It's good to be saved in the Lord's house. Appreciate his help this week. Kind of rough week, but the Lord's grace brought us to this day. Last week passed, Brother Hyde, it's gone. Today's the day the Lord hath made. Like every day is the day he's made. If you have a day, then he made it. And he allowed you to be in it. Give us air to breathe this morning, get up, be in the house of God. I appreciate the grace of God. Need his help. We're sinful, but he's the Savior. I appreciate the goodness of God, the grace of God, forgiveness, faith, all that God's given us. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, we're looking at some other scripture, and really, we're in this chapter, and in Ephesians, first three chapters, probably Brother Hyde's more doctrinal on what the folks, people of God believe and what's true with God. And in chapter 4 here, he's really sort of changes gears, so to speak. He goes into how people ought, the children of God, the saints, he's speaking to them. He didn't write this to the world. He wrote it to the church at Ephesus and to us this morning. And this book was written to us, this letter was written to us, and how we ought to walk and how we ought to act towards others, and especially them, the household of faith. He talked about us being in a oneness, and we'll look back at some of that this morning. But I want to look at verse number 16. I'm not exactly sure, you forgive me if I go over something we've done been over. Well, my memory ain't that good sometimes, and it's getting worse as I get older, Brother Hyde. It ain't never been real good, but that's all right. The Lord knows. Verse 16, the Word of God said, verse 15, he just said that we ought to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Him is Christ. And then verse 16, he said, from whom? That denotes that he's the source. He's where it's coming from. That's what that's saying, from whom. The whom there is Christ. He just named it, verse 15. We know that. But from whom? He's the source of God. There is no other source. And all that you'll have this morning from God or receive from God, it'll come through him, from him. God set it up that way, Brother Hyde. That's all you can say. It's predetermined. It's ordained by God. The Godhead set it up this way, that he's the preeminent one. He's the source of God. And he is God this morning. He is the fullness of God. If you want to see God, look at him. And everything that we know of God, Brother Hyde, comes from him. Everything we have of God, I'm talking about spiritually, is from him. From him, he is the source. It's just like he's the way, the truth, the life. There's not multiple sources of God. Christ is the source. He said, from whom? And he said, the whole body, the whole body. That's us this morning. That's the body of Christ. The body of Christ, thank God, who he's speaking of, which he said in this book is the church, thank God, this morning. We're a church this morning. We're a local church, Brother Hyde. We're a body, the local body this morning. He's speaking directly to us this morning. He said, from whom? Christ, the source, the whole body, that's us this morning. Then he said, fitly joined. That word fitly means, and joined here takes the meaning of organized closely. It's fitly the way he fitted it, if I can say that this morning. It's not just, listen, Christ's church and the body is not something something just haphazardly happened, Brother High. God set it up. Christ set it up. The source set it up. He set this thing up. He put us in the body, Brother Todd. He put who he wants to here, this local body, and he puts every saint of God in the body as he chooses. Thank God he's fitly. It's organized, Sister Linda. If I can use that word, that's an English word, and it was written to us, but that word fitly takes the meaning of that. It's organized. It's in order. It's the way it's supposed to be. Every piece is where it's supposed to be. Nothing's out of place. It's where God put it. And he said here in the Word of God, he said, fitly joined. Joined, that means framed together. He said, it means joined, just what it means together. We're not apart, Brother Hyde. We're one of another. Christ's body is not separated, it's joined. We're hooked up together. We're not separate people. We are a separate person. You're your own person in Christ. I understand, know that. But there's one body, Sister Leonard. We're joined together. We're not separated. The arm can't say to the leg, I don't have no need of you because you're not an arm. We're all joined together in the body. We're joined there and framed together that God did. And notice this, he said together, and then he said compacted. And that just really means that it's compounded. It's packed in. It's tight. The way it's tight is what that means. If you compact something, it makes it tighter, thank God. It's not loose fitting, but it's tight fitting is what he's saying here. And God did that. He did that to the body. The body, the church, thank God. The source, thank God. Jesus Christ, fitly framed together, compacted. Notice this. How is it compacted? How's the body of Christ? How's the church compacted this morning? Well, I know that Christ is a source. I understand that all things come through him and everything by him. And listen, if we're compacted this morning, it's because he compacted us. And I understand and know that. But there's something that God does. He does this, listen, he does it through his church, Brother High. He goes out in the world through his church, but he works in his church through his church. He said this in the Word of God. He said, compacted. Notice this. How is it compacted? By that which every joint supplieth. Now, there's a bunch of joints. You got a bunch of joints in your body, and they hook together, and they got tendons, and they got things that make it work. Not no doctor, but I know the elbow, there's a lot goes on when you move this elbow. Mine hurt about every morning now, but that's because them joints has got some aid. But there's joints. The lower part, your hands hooked to this part of your arm with joints, and this part of your arm's hooked to the upper arm through these joints, and that's hooked to your body through your shoulder joint. You know that, Brother High. When it gets hurt, it don't work too good. That's because that joint's messed up. Hey, something ain't right in there. That's why you got pain. That's why it don't work right. That's why if you got it in a sling, because it's out of order, it ain't in good shape. You can't use it right now. But it's still a joint, thank God. It's still there, but that's how, listen, your hand ain't no good if your shoulder falls off. It won't work because it ain't joined to you no more. God did this. He said every joint supply. That's you and me. Listen, every joint in your body supplies what you have need of every day. That's how you get around. That's how you walk. That's how you feed yourself. That's why, if you type on a typewriter, a computer, that's how you type. I mean, everything works together. These joints work together to supply what this body has need of every day. I'm talking about the physical body right now. And so much the more, Sister Linda, the spiritual body, he said that air is compacted, is held in tight, thank God. It's joined together, it's framed together. That joined there takes the same meaning of frame, fitly joined. He said fitly framed in the earlier chapter in this same book. We're fitly framed, we're fitly joined, thank God. He said it's compacted, it's held in tight, squeezed in, compacted together. He said that every joint supplied. There's a spiritual body. There's the stronger parts and there's the weaker parts. I understand, know this. This is the strongest part of a man is in his loin. It's in your legs. It's in this part of your body. Your lower part of your body of a natural man is stronger than the upper part of his body. Your legs are stronger than your arms. It don't make no difference how much. If you go to the gym and work out every day, Brother Hyatt, and you become a bodybuilder and you're all pumped up and everything is as good as I guarantee you, your legs are stronger than your arms. It always is. That's where the strength is at. But the legs can't say, I don't need the arms. Can't say it. The legs can't say, I don't need the eyes. They wouldn't know where to walk. Legs can't say, I don't have no need for the ears. They wouldn't know when they need to run to get out of danger. They're the stronger part, but the weaker part is still needed. And it's that way in the body. It's joined together, he said, by that which every joint supplied. You're a joint in the body this morning, and God has need of you, and he compacts his church by that which you supply. That's what he's saying. Every joint supplies. Notice this. How does the joint supply? How does the joint, what determines what your joint, what determines what you supply, Brother High? If you're a joint in the body, and we are, we're joint. Every joint supply. Who determines what this joint supplies to the body? He said here in the Word of God, he said according to, let me get to it. He said this compacting is taking place, which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. This is how this is taking place. How God's at work, how God, what Christ, the source, Brother Hyde, how the source of God, he is the source of God, and he's where everything comes from and through him, but there's how it flows. Here's how the source of Christ, the source of God, the power of God flows in the church. He's speaking to the body. Here's how it flows. Again, he lives and walks in his body, who is the church here on this earth, and he supplies and he compacts, and the source is him, but the flow is through you. That's right. He said here in the Word of God, that God would use you in the hand and the work of God. That God would use his people. That's how he does it. He said, according to the effectual working. Listen, the working of God in his body, in the joints of God that he has in his body, thank God, they're effectual. That means they have effect. They accomplish something, Brother Hyde. It's effectual. The effectual call of God to your heart is what draws you to him when you're lost without God. That's what draws you to him now. It has an effect on you. It didn't fall on deaf ears and just fall to the ground, didn't do anything. It was effectual call. There's a general calling. Every man's without excuse, but there's an effectual calling to the saint of God that's been saved by the grace of God, who was a sinner lost without God. There was an effectual calling, Brother Todd, that came to you and drawed you to him. It was not just a general calling, the grace of God. Every man's without excuse, that's right. He can look about him and see creation and know that there's a higher being, there's a God, and God says without excuse, but there's an effectual calling, Sister Linda, that struck your heart, that pulled you directly to him, and that took place. It had an effect on you. He said here in the Word of God, he said according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. There's a part, you're a part, you're a joint. There's a working of God. There's a flow of the source of God, who is Christ, through and in you, thank God, that does something. He said that every part, notice this, it maketh increase of the body. Maketh increase of the body. It's not just talking about number here, Brother Hyde. In fact, specifically, it's not talking about number. Specifically, it's not. We grow. We have grown. We do grow in number. And some come in on out from the outside and they're born again. Some born into the church and they get born again, thank God, by the grace of God. God does every bit of that. But he really, in this scripture, he's not talking about number here. He said, make it increase of the body, increase of the body, increase of the body. I think he's talking about spiritual here, spiritual and the understanding of God. And the understanding, thank God, of the source of where it's coming from. That's what we grow in. That's where the increase is at. Spiritually, not just so, not written, that's not really a number he's speaking of here. He said, but increase of the body, notice this, unto the edifying of itself in love. It looks like, Brother Hyatt, that everything's self-contained within itself and how it's held in, it's like that atom in the center, the nucleus is Christ. The source is him. The source is him, Brother Aaron. That's where everything comes from. And listen, if not for Christ, the church would have long since fell apart. There wouldn't be nobody. It wouldn't be compacted. There wouldn't be every joint supplying that it has need of, thank God, and that it would make increase, he said, of the body, notice this, unto the edifying of itself in love. I want you to look in Acts 20. If you want to turn there, I want to read a verse of scripture. And Paul, I think in the scripture, he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus. He called them together, and he's speaking to them in this word of God. So he's speaking in the book of Acts. He's speaking to the saints of God, the people of God at Ephesus, Brother Hyde. He's speaking to them. He's talking to them. And listen, it's the same Ephesus right here in the book of Ephesians. It's the same people. It's the same area. It's the same location. Asia, he's there. Thank God. And he says this. Now, he said in Ephesians, he said, unto the edifying of itself in love, increase of the body. He said here in the Word of God in Acts chapter 20, I believe it is, verse 32, he said this, and now, brethren, he's getting ready to part. I think in this scripture here, in fact, for a lot of them at the end, they saw because of his words, which he spake, that they should see his face no more. He knew, thank God. I think in this scripture, and don't hold me to it, I read it, I might paraphrase it, but it looks to me like that God's done told him that he won't see them no more. You can read the whole chapter, you can read the prior chapter, you can read it for yourself. But he's saying to them as he's leaving, Brother Hyatt, they're getting ready to sail out, they're getting ready to leave. And he says to him, verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God." Notice this, "and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." He commended them to God, and he said, and to the word of grace, he said, which able to build you up. That falls within the same category he's speaking of in Ephesians here, making increase, building you up, edifying. He speaks about edifying in chapter 4. He talked about edifying. He said here in the word of God, he said, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Listen, the edifying is not coming from the world. The church goes out into the world, Brother High. But the edifying of God looks to me like, listen, it ain't coming from nowhere but from itself. Who Christ is the head of. You edified spiritually, thank God, through the source who is Christ, thank God. And you come to the house of God. You come around the body of God. You come around the people of God. You're a part of that body. You're a part of that church. That edifying, that increase in love, and that edifying, that building up, Sister Linda, that comes in from internal, the body of Christ. Not outsiders, but the body. Them saints of God, them ones that know God, them people that know God, them that know something about God, them that's had some increase. He said here that the church gets stronger, not weaker. It don't get weaker. Again, he's not talking about number here. He's talking about increase, thank God, in the knowledge of Christ, in the strength of God, in the faith that God gives you. Grow in faith, thank God. Listen, you want to talk about something? If there's one thing that'll make you stronger, Brother Hyde, is when God strengthens you in faith. That makes you stronger. That makes you stronger than you were. We have faith that he gives us to believe, but we have faith, continue faith, that grows and strengthens. And that makes you stronger because, listen, faith does bring sight. And you believe God. You believe God. But listen, and Thomas, he wouldn't believe unless he seen. But after he saw, he did believe, thank God. And Abraham believed God without seeing. He didn't see what God had promised him. Hadn't seen that. He just believed God. That's a pretty strong faith. He believed God when he took Isaac up on the mountain. Has some real strong faith. He just believed God. He just believed what God told him. Abraham believed that he could slay Isaac and God would raise him back up because that's where the promise was. Not in another seed like he gave Adam and Eve. It wasn't in another, it was in Isaac. And God, listen, Abraham just believed him, man. But listen, that's edifying. That's building up, thank God. We build one another up. You see somebody else have faith, it helps you to have faith, thank God. You see it, Brother High. It strengthens one another, thank God. This ain't just a general statement, believe God. That is a general statement, but it's deeper than that. It's edifying, thank God, that you can believe God or you see somebody believe God and God bring the path. I'm telling you this much, you say, that's the same God I know, thank God. He's my father like he's their father, thank God. And I can believe God too. It edifies. It builds you up, thank God, with self in love. Then he said this in the word of God. I'm going to look back in Ephesians. Now I'm going to look over another book. Verse 17, I got to move on. He said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord." It looks to me like, Brother Hyde, he's delivering what he's saying there is. He's delivering the word of God that God told him to. He's testifying. He said testifying the Lord. It looks to me like he's testifying the word that God testified to him. I don't know if that even makes any sense to you, but he's telling what God told him to tell. He's writing down what God told him to write down. He's moved by the Spirit of God, Brother Hyde, to say these words. He's testifying in the Lord. He's not offering his opinion. He's not offering what he believes, but he says, "I'm testifying in the Lord." You know, and here's the thing, church. I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this to say what Paul's doing this here. He's saying what God gave him. Paul knows, Brother Hyde. Paul knows the Apostle Paul. He's the Apostle Paul now. If you want to say that's his title, but he knows in lowliness and humility of mind, Brother Hyde, that he cannot help these people other than that God's given him. Can't do nothing. Can't do nothing for them. He determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can't help anybody but give them what God give them. My opinion or my thought or I think this or I think that, That's all good. Everybody's got one, brother Todd. Everybody's got an opinion. I understand and know that. And some's right and some's wrong. Maybe all of them's wrong. All of them's wrong if they don't line up with the Word of God. But what I'm saying is to you is you can't help somebody by what you think. You're a man. You're a man just like I'm a man. Woman, that includes you. You're a woman just like another woman's a woman. And you have the same problems, the same frailties, and the same corruption, and the same Adamic nature. You come from Adam just like everybody does, and you can't help somebody but by giving, Brother Hyatt, what thus saith the Lord. Jesus, listen, Jesus, when he's being tempted, was talking about that the other week, but he is out there in the wilderness, and Satan come after him after them 40 days. I mean, the trial and the temptation was on it. The pressure was on the Son of God. We know he's God, and the devil can't do nothing with him. He can't touch him. He can't do nothing with him. But listen, Jesus used the same thing. He used what thus saith God. He said, the scripture saith. Not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He hit him with the bread there after he'd been hungered for 40 days. You imagine now, you ain't eaten 40 days. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus as a man, the man Jesus Christ, the man Jesus, hungered just like you and me would. Exactly. No different. He's God, but he hungered as a man. He said, this is the word of God. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. He's speaking to the church, edifying, building itself up in love. How ought to walk? He said this in the first part of this chapter in Ephesians 4. I'm going to read it again. We've done looked at it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What he said in the first three verses of chapter 4. Here he said here that you henceforth, he's saying from this point forward, you don't walk, he said, you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. He's saying here to them, Brother High, you're effectually called out, you're part of the body, your joints in the body of Christ, you're compacted, you're fitly joined, fitly framed, you're the body of Christ now, you've been effectually called out, you're not as you were, you're not as these other Gentiles, you're changed now. You've been made anew. You're a different person, thank God. You're different because you're in Christ. Your position's there. You're not the same. You're not who you were. You still have that nature that you have to deal with. He's telling them that. He said, but don't walk in that old nature now. He's saying walk in the new nature because, thank God, you've been called out. You're a different man. Listen, he said here that they walk this way, Brother Hyatt, in the vanity of their mind. That's emptiness. There's no spiritually now. I'm talking about spiritually. There's nothing there spiritually. It's empty. It's empty. Listen, they know not. In the first part of Ephesians, Paul spoke a lot about the mystery of God, and they know not the mystery of God. That's why they walk the way they walk. They're the vanity of their mind. This has not been revealed to them. And he's saying to this church here, since then, he said, don't walk from this point forward now, since you have been called out, since you do know the mystery, since this has been revealed to you, since Christ abides in you, thank God, he said, don't walk that way no more. Don't walk that way. You henceforth. You did, but now you don't. Colossians, this is a great verse of scripture. This is what Paul told to the church at Colossae, Brother Hyde. This is what he said. And again, he's speaking of the mystery to them. He said, you don't henceforth don't walk that way. You know now. He said, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generation, been hid, not revealed to man by God, but now is made manifest to his saints. You church at Ephesus, church at Westside, now you know. Been made manifest, been made known. Now you know. He said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It's been made known to us, Brother Hyde. God did that. He said, but make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's the mystery and the riches. The riches, he said, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, he said, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right. He said this in the Word of God. He said, you don't walk as other Gentiles do. You don't walk. The mystery, Brother Hyde, and the riches of that mystery, the glory, has not been revealed to all Gentiles. But it has to these saints he's writing to. Sure. Been revealed to them. Christ has revealed himself. Revelations come, sister, and now they know. And he said, you don't go back and walk the way that you did. He's telling them, thank God. He said, you build one another up, and you need, you walk not as other Gentiles walk. You're a Gentile, but you're saved by the grace of God. Is there a nature there? Brother Hyde, they have flesh just like we have flesh. And they had battles and contentions and a struggle and the one warred against the other just like it does in us. The natural man and the spiritual man war, Sister Linda, they do. They do. I'm just telling you. Christ, as God and man, Brother Hyde, he walked perfect. He was tempted in all points as we are, tested and tried. But I'm telling you this much. His body, he said, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He had a body in the likeness of sinful flesh. But listen to me, it was not sinful flesh because he never sinned. He said in the likeness, Brother Hyde. In the likeness. Just like you and me. A resemblance. If you looked at him, just looking on the outside man, on the natural man, the outside, the likeness of sinful flesh, he looked as any other man. He had a difference about him. Me and you don't look the same, Brother Todd, but me and you both look like a man. If you looked at Jesus when he was walking here on this earth, the likeness of the sinful flesh that was not sinful, that man, that resemblance, he looked like any other man alive on the face of the earth. He did. Yet without sin. Had to be that way. Listen, the perfect had to justify the imperfect. Could not be no sin in Christ. He's without spot, without blemish. That's why I can't save you, because I got the same problem you got. That's why you can't save me, because you got the same problem I got. You know better than I am. I know better than you are. We're guilty before God. He said, don't walk. He said, in the vanity of the mind, notice this, having the understanding, the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Well, there's a lot could be said about that. And a lot of people don't believe it. And I know the Word of God speaks about the God of this world. It blinded them. I understand, know that, Brother Hatt. But I want to remind you that Christ is still sovereign. And God, Christ still has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. And Christ is the only one that can open somebody's eyes spiritually. And listen, it don't make no difference, Brother Hatt. It looks to me like that Gadarene maniac. It looks to me like that the devil, Satan, was hard on his trail and in his mess. I mean, and had him in a bad shape. Sure. He said a legion, they said like 1,000 demons in that man. He in bad shape. Probably as bad, Brother Hyde, maybe if not the worst, but as bad as anybody probably has ever been on the face of this earth as far as demonic power, having power over that man and control over him at the time. I mean, he's in bad shape. And he was in darkness. He was living in darkness. He was walking in darkness. He lived in the graveyard. He's naked. I mean, everything about him was darkness. Darkness against that was contrary to the way of God. It was outside the way of God. It was contrary. He's cutting himself. He's running around naked. He couldn't be bound. He was under that demonic control and that demonic persuasion, and he could not do anything of himself. And listen, he was walking that way. But there's a sovereign God in heaven that the whole time that's going on, I'll remind you, is allowing this. And has the power, Brother Hyde, to stop it whenever he so chooses.
Yes, sir.
When it's time.
Yeah.
And when Jesus went to see him specifically, he went there to see him, Brother Hyde. He went for that purpose.
Sure.
He had no trouble casting the devils out. In fact, they feared him. They knew who he was and they feared him. And they knew, Sister Linda, when the Lord walked up on the scene, that he has sovereign power over them and he could do as he pleased.
Yeah.
And he did, and he didn't struggle and he didn't have no problem with it. And immediately, Brother Hyatt, he took that man out of darkness.
Yeah.
He took him out of the darkness that he was in.
He did.
He took him out of it. And that man no longer walked the way that he walked. He didn't live naked in the graveyard no more. He wasn't cutting himself, said his clothes in his right mind. At the feet of Jesus, everything changed. Everything changed immediately, Sister Linda. He's not the same person. He is physically. He's the same old man that was down there in the graveyard, possessed and controlled by devils. He's the same man, but he's different. Why? Because his understanding's not darkened no more. He understands. He's seen Christ, thank God. Notice this, he said being alienated, that's just really just means separated. You're not part of. Alienated from the life of God. The understanding is darkened. These other Gentiles, he's telling them their understanding darkened. They're alienated. They're separated from the life of God. Notice this, through the ignorance that is in them. Through the ignorance, Brother Hyatt, that's in them. Now, I don't want to contradict myself, but I want to say this, that Paul said he obtained mercy because he did it in ignorance. He was zealous, thought he was doing right by God too, a religious man. He wasn't a drunk out here in the street or the murderer, just so to speak, although he did, according by his own testimony. But he thought he was doing right by God. But he did it in ignorance. That means he didn't know. Ignorance is really not a bad word like people think it is. That just means you're uninformed. You don't know. You don't have knowledge of. That's what ignorance means. You're ignorant of it. You don't know about it. He said, through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of the heart. They're darkened. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance in them. But the ignorance that's in them is because of the blindness of their heart. See, God goes right back to the heart. It all is concerned in the heart. The blindness of the heart, Sister Linda, is the reason for the ignorance that's in them, and that alienates them from the life of God. Their understanding is darkened. There ain't no hope for them but Christ, the hope of glory. Such were some of you, he says in the Word of God. We were there. But now, if you look at this, he's speaking to them. Now, and then in verse 19, he goes a little bit deeper. He said, who being past feeling. That really means, Brother Hyatt, that they have no sense. No sense. Sense. They have no senses towards God. Spiritually, we're speaking about. He said their past feeling. They don't have no sense, spiritual sense, towards God. He said, "Who being past feeling." Now, this is what I know, Brother Hyatt in church. This is what I know. This is what I know. I believe it's right for what I know as a person. Because I'm not Christ and I have no authority to condemn nor justify.
Right.
He's the only one. Man can go so far, Brother Hyatt, that he's cut off. We have to believe that from the Word of God. We have to believe that. It happens. Who determines the point? Christ.
Yeah.
When it's cut off.
Yeah.
Who he determines that. That's in him, Brother Hyatt. He's the only one that can condemn or justify. He justified you, he's the only one. If a man ends up dying and goes to hell and he's condemned to hell, Christ condemned him. He said you're condemned already because you believe not. But the one you're believing not in is him. It's Christ. He said here in the Word of God, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That really just means all manner of evil. But I think, Brother Hyatt, in his writings here, it's not just so much outwardly, naturally lasciviousness, but it's spiritual lasciviousness. It's of a spiritual realm. He's speaking to them of their understanding, and they have the blindness of heart. And just hear me out. He said, unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. He said they've given themselves over, their past feeling. They have no spiritual sense towards God. And they this is taking place, Brother Hyde. Now, everybody don't always believe this, and it's preached in this church too, but I'm not sure everybody believes it. Now, I want you to look at what he said in verse number 19. The giving themselves over unto lasciviousness and to work all uncleanliness with greediness did not cause them to be past feeling. Did not cause them to be blind. They're doing that because they are.
Listen,
it's no different from lost mankind. It's no different from me and you. I'm going to ask you something. Did you do anything contrary to God this past week, or did you walk perfectly in line with God? I hope you did. But listen, if you didn't, and you sinned against God, you know why you did that? That don't make you a sinner. You sin because you are a sinner. There's the cause and the effect. Why does man sin, Sister Linda? Because he's a sinner. The fact that he sins don't make him a sinner. The fact that he's a sinner causes him to sin. That's right. Is that right? That's exactly right. He said in the Word of God, he said that their past feeling, they're blind, they're in darkness, they're alienated, the ignorance is in them, the blindness of the heart, their past feeling, they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. Now notice this, here's why I'm saying there's a spiritual realm in this, Brother Hyde, that he's writing to the church. He said, but ye have not so learned Christ. That you've learned of Christ produces opposite of what he just said. Don't cause a man to walk in that. If a man's learned of Christ, Brother Todd, don't cause a man to walk in that. We might have still battles in it. We still got a natural man, and we got this battle that we have to battle with daily, and we have to crucify the old man, thank God, and live in the new man. I understand and know that. There's that battle there. There's that battle there. But that you've learned of Christ, but ye have not so learned Christ, that that you've learned of Christ causes a man to walk opposite of this and walk in that love and that unity and that edifying that he's speaking to the church, not to walk as other Gentiles walk, but walk in the newness of man. Why are they walking that way? Well, they don't know God. Are they cut off? Well, that's Christ's business. This is what I know, brother. Again, if a man is living and walk and breathing, I'm talking about outside. Just I ain't saying the Holy Ghost. I'm not telling the Holy Ghost what he can tell somebody and what he can't tell somebody. But I'm saying, as a general statement, I'm walking down the road, and I see people living and breathing and walking. As far as I know, they ain't died and gone to hell yet. They ain't died without Christ yet. That there's an opportunity there if God gives them the opportunity. That don't mean everybody walking the face of the earth has an opportunity. I didn't say that. That's untrue. Because few there be that find it. Many go in therein. There's a narrow and a broad. I understand, know that. But we don't know, Sister Linda. He said here in the Word of God to them, oh, that you don't do that. Ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. He said, you've not learned him that way. You've not learned Christ to walk that way. You've learned Christ to walk in edifying and in love, thank God. He said here in the Word, if so be that ye have heard him. Now, Brother Hyde, I relate back to verse 18. If you've heard him, your understanding is not darkened. If you've heard him. You see the opposites. If you've heard him, your understanding is not darkened. It was at one time, Sister Linda, but now it's not. Why? What made the change? You heard him. I know that's simple, and that's a general statement, but it's the truth. It's the only reason why you're not darkened anymore. He said, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. As the truth is in Jesus. He is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and life. And there's no truth aside from him, Brother Hyde. But in this Word of God, you've heard him. You've heard him, and you've been taught of and by him. And that's how you know him. Yeah. But now your understanding is not darkened. You're no longer alienated from the life of God, which, by the way, Gentiles were, was outside. Completely, Brother Hyde. We didn't have nothing in times past.
Right.
This ain't been revealed yet. No. That mystery was hid.
Yeah.
Been hid. Gentiles know nothing. They had nothing of God. They was in this world without God and without hope. That's you and me. That's where we was at. We didn't have anything. He said here in the Word of God, but now our understanding is not darkened because we've heard him. We've been taught of him. We've been taught, he said, and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You're no longer alienated from the life of God because the ignorance is no longer in you and your heart is no longer blind. You're the exact opposite of that, Sister Linda, now because you know him. It's him, thank God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the difference, Brother High. He's the source, thank God. He is the one that has changed you, and he's the one that you've learned of, and he's the one you've been taught by. You might hear a man's voice, but I'm telling you this much, nobody can put anything in your heart down in the spirituality of man, the spirit of man. No one can do that but the Holy Ghost, who is the Spirit of Christ.
Right.
Every man on the face of the earth can stand up and read this Bible and preach the truth out of it. If they lived 100 years and they preached for 80 years, Sister Linda, and they'd never get nothing down in the heart of man or into the spirit of man but by the Holy Ghost. That's taught by him. How do you know him? Because he's taught you. That's pretty simple, but it's truth. That's how you know him. That's why you're different now. That's why you're not past feeling. That's why you hadn't given yourself over, Brother High, to lasciviousness and all manner of uncleanness and greediness. That's why you hadn't done that, because thank God he's revealed himself to you. He said here in the Word of God, and he's telling them, thank God, how they ought to walk, how they ought to act and live towards one another in edifying and in love. And he said, don't walk the way you did walk. There's no need for it. Them Gentiles, them other Gentiles is walking because they're blinded. They're darkened. They're ignorant. Such were some of you, but now you're not. Now you're not. He said, now we don't walk that way. We walk in edifying. We walk in unity. We endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We endeavor to keep that, Brother Hatt. We walk towards one another in love. Why is that? You've been taught of him. I got to close. I appreciate you. He said, as the truth is in Jesus. There's the meat of it right there. As the truth is in Jesus. If you want to know truth, see what he says. I can believe the way something is, Brother Hyde, all day long. And maybe have good intentions. But if it's contrary to what Jesus said, then I'm wrong.
Right.
The Lord loves his church, who is his body, and you're members of it. You're a joint, and you supply that the body needs. The source is Christ, Brother Hyde.
Yeah,
God bless you.